Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker, and today on the show, we have the founder of North 89, Gustav Secker, on the phone. North 89 is a Stockholm-based footwear brand established in 2016. And it was grown out of a passion for sneakers that initially started at a young age. Today, a lot of sneakers focus on looks and design, but less on functionality. North 89 believe that functionality should be a given. Their goal is to take a functional approach on the classic and ever popular cup sole sneaker by combining innovative and classic materials with a touch of Scandinavian design aesthetics. And here to tell us more about North 89 is the brand's founder, Gustav Secker.
So it kind of came about during university. I've always had an interest for both fashion and business. I took art in high school. My drawing is not my specialty. When I went to university, I decided, maybe I can approach this from a business perspective instead. So I studied marketing, I studied strategy and branding. During the time I was also, I'm very interested in shoes. So I kind of decided that I'm going to get a couple of years experience in the fashion industry. And then during that period, I also started North 89. And the idea kind of is to combine or bridge fashion and function, to combine that. And I want our shoes then that we started with now to be both stylish, clean, that you can wear them to the office, but also functional. I want them to be able to breathe properly in the warmer months, and I want them to have a technical focus with water-resistant materials for autumn, winter.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Now, well, I'm interested in the design element, but I'm curious, before we hit upon that, you said you had some experience in the fashion industry before taking this on. So what were you doing before you got into North 89?
I started at J. Lindeberg, actually, a Swedish fashion house. I worked in the marketing department at first, and then I moved over to e-commerce. I was there for a while, and then I went on to Peak Performance, a very popular ski wear brand. After that was kind of when I started North 89. So I had two and a half years of experience, roughly, in the fashion industry. Clothing industry at brands that are, you know, they're very technical but also very functional and stylish so that helped me gain a lot of experience for, especially in the e-commerce segment where I'm currently operating with North 89.
Yeah, I bet that was really handy coming into the brand, and I imagine that North 89 was just festering in your mind somewhere over the couple of years whilst you were working elsewhere. So did you have like a juggling act where you're working during the day and then sketching out sneakers in the evening?
Yes, yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's always, you're always thinking of ideas, and sometimes you're just itching to start working on it. But no, I still have 2 hours left at my day job, which of course, you know, I learned so much from the companies and the people around me, and I had great people and mentors and stuff. But this itch of doing something for myself and having a creative outlet was always there. I like the business part. I like the design part, and for me, this is a fantastic way to combine both.
So you have the idea. Now, what year are we talking here when you get it off the ground, and how are you raising the capital to do that?
We launched in September 2016. So we've been around for a while now. It happened kind of quickly. I mean, I found a agent in Portugal who through him found a factory. Everything kind of started within 4 to 6 months, really, when we really started working on it, until we launched our first collection. It was a really small collection at first. It was one style, three different colors. We really kept it simple. But which was great in one way, because it was better, more a little bit more cost efficient than having four different styles or something like that. I mean, or designs, and so we didn't require a lot of capital to start with. I mean, we started with roughly €20,000.
Okay.
To start. Yeah.
But where are you getting that from? Are you just dipping into your own pockets or? Yeah.
No, my own money, and then I had a little bit of support from my parents. Obviously, mm-hmm. I mean, I was. This is how many years ago is it now? It's nearly seven years ago.
Yeah.
7 years ago. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I mean, I had just started my normal career, so I didn't have that much saved up. But no, my parents were very helpful with that. But just to make it like clear now, this is I'm the sole owner of the company, and all the money to my parents is paid back now. So yeah,
nice. Yeah, you've already sorted out the angel investors. Now it's all under your roof, which is good.
Yeah,
news.
Yeah.
So perhaps from the next step, then you have that small collection. How are you soft marketing this, or how are you releasing it? What goes through the next step once you have the product in your hand?
I mean, it was I'm not going to lie. Like it was a slow start. It was a slow start. I mean, obviously the first couple of orders were friends and family. We used Instagram a lot. I mean, because since we have a product that, in my opinion, or, you know, that in my view needs to be displayed in image or through video, it's to show that the shoes are actually water resistant. Exactly. To be able to show that Instagram was a great platform for us. We gained a good following in the quite early, and then we had and then after a couple, like 1 or 2 weeks, we had orders started trickling in from customers around the world, and Instagram was also on the up and up then, right? So that was a great platform for us to use. We didn't have a big ad spend budget, and then we worked a lot on newsletters. Newsletters mm-hmm. has and still is today one of our big marketing channels.
That's also interesting. Mm. So sorry to interrupt. Newsletters, I find, they're just everywhere. They're ubiquitous now. So how do you make your newsletter interesting and different? And especially as it's coming from a brand point of view, right? So, I mean, I get emails and updates from everything that you subscribe to, but I also get a little bit overwhelmed with some brands that just want to kind of pump out new releases, everyday emails. And even though I love the brand, I find myself unsubscribing from these newsletters or these updates because it just
Black
becomes
Friday
so
is
much.
A great example where you get overloaded.
Right? Yeah. Well, right. I mean, everything looks like a commercial opportunity. So Valentine's Day, I mean, we're 2 weeks away, but I'm getting hammered right now. So how do you, I'm just curious to know from a newsletter point of view, you say this was something that you embraced early on. How do you approach that?
I've always found that there needs to be a balance between selling a product, a sales pitch, and also, and you have to balance it with brand and story building. Why should somebody buy our shoes is obviously very important to highlight, but also I think you can also show why you exist, because there's so many brands out there. So what makes us different from our competitors? And Sweden has a lot of great sneaker brands. I mean, I have a lot of great competitors in the market. But I found a balance between storytelling, branding, and sales has really worked for us. I mean, our shoes are handmade in Portugal. Everything is sourced from Europe. Nothing comes from Asia. I mean, it's high quality products. And I also really try to show what problem are we solving as a brand? Why do we differentiate from other sneaker brands? And at the time, we were one of the very few, one of the only sneaker brands that were really working with materials depending on seasons, apart from clothing brands that had been at previously. So that really worked for us when it came to the newsletters. And you can also really work with your customer, or, you know, build up a trust with them through the newsletters, and also kind of nurture them in a way that you can't if you can't communicate with them directly, which you're doing through the newsletter.
Yeah, if you're not engaged. So talk to me about the problems that you are solving and the ones that you are mentioning. designs. I suppose it all comes down to the different designs that you have for different seasons. Drill down on that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, the designs, I'm from Sweden. We like it fairly, you know, minimalistic, simple. I think Scandinavian brands, we all have, you can always tell if the brand, where the brand is coming from. And I think, each country, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, we all have different aesthetics or specialities, but I wanted to keep the shoes simple. And how can we keep them simple with a function that you can still wear to the office, you can wear it to dinner, but you can also wear it out, you know, if you're just going out with the boys for a weekend, or I want them to be able to take you from A to Z, and you don't really have to change shoes if you're in the office during the day and then you're going to dinner at night, you should just be able to go directly, at least with the footwear that you're wearing. So I've tried to keep it really simple with the designs, but then we focus on the materials. And the problem that we're solving is, in my opinion, is that when you're walking from home to the office, it's September and it's raining. You don't want to wear boots. You don't want to wear wellies, for example. You don't want to wear Chelsea boots. You want to wear a nice pair of clean, crisp sneakers. But if it's just a, you know, a normal leather sneaker, your feet are going to get wet, right? But if you have materials that are treated with water resistant materials or then you can still wear those sneakers when you're walking to work, but your feet will still be dry and you can still wear them in the office. So I like to wear sneakers all the time. That's my go-to, always has been, and I want to wear them in any kind of weather, warm, wet, or cold. So this is kind of the problem that I feel that we're solving. And when it comes to the breathable materials in the summers, I have warm feet. I like it. You know, the goal that I have with the breathable sneakers is that we use the cotton mesh materials. Then we also use the perforated leathers that don't have a lining on the inside. So the hole goes straight through to your foot. I really want to achieve the feeling that you get from summer, from running shoes in the summer. You can feel the air really come through. And it's so, and with these, you can really feel the air come through, and it's been a really successful product. I mean, we have thousands of customers that love, that really come to us specifically for the functionality of our sneakers.
That's interesting. I mean, good stuff. We were just bringing up some photos there to the stream, and anyone on the YouTube can have a look, and also on the website, of course, and we'll leave links over in the show notes. But a lot of the trainers I notice have like a white midsole. Do you have any tips for keeping white midsoles clean? Because I always just dial it back a sec. I think what men don't know in general is how much women pay attention to what men wear on their feet. I mean, it's like, and how clean they keep their footwear. So for example, if you've got a nice pair of new trainers, especially with a white midsole, it's just generally a lot harder to keep cleaner for a longer period of time. So do you have any tips on how to keep these fresh?
Yeah, I mean, I see sneakers as, I mean, I'm a car enthusiast as well. And I mean, you can have the nicest car, but if the rims aren't nice, then it kind of ruins the whole thing for me. And I see this is kind of the same concept that I see for sneakers, and especially they should be clean, right? So, I mean, I usually, for the midsoles, a soft toothbrush and warm and some soap, like neutral soap. And lukewarm water usually works. I mean, that's some of the things that I use. Then I also have the luxury to, you know, get a fresh pair quite easily. The stock is not so far, but I do that. Otherwise, I mean, you can also, I mean, a good cleaning product from various sneaker cleaning brands. I mean, Jason Mark or Crepe are also, you know, this is not a sponsored mention, but those are also great products. I mean, and then also just maybe not use them every day. Rotate your sneakers. Try to rotate a little bit. And if you see a scuff mark, just kind of like, just clean them immediately and don't get more. I mean,
Don't let it build up after a month and go, right, now it's the time to clean. It's
a bit late.
So this would be like, for example, a problem that I'd want you to solve if I had trainers and bought white crepe trainers. Are there any other problems that people are coming to you with? I mean, so you have an engaged audience. What are your consumers and your customers telling you about your trainers?
They sell out too quickly sometimes. It's a little bit about of a it's a good problem to have, obviously, but we try to we order an amount that we feel comfortable with. Usually we don't overstock, right? We don't want to have too many in stock, first of all, because we don't want to be left with a bunch of stock at the end of the season. We don't want to be constantly on sale. And also out of a little bit of a sustainability perspective, I don't think it's right. I mean, that's a whole separate discussion, I think, about with the fashion industry,
the stock? Is it in Portugal where they're made, or do you kind of have to?
No, it's in a warehouse in Sweden. We have a 3PL warehouse in Sweden that delivers worldwide. Mm. We did have them in Portugal for a while. But lately, I mean, with the growth, and we've had to transition to a new warehouse, which is great. And keeping, you know, Sweden is one of our biggest markets. UK is the biggest, actually, and then Sweden not close behind. So it's a good point for us to ship from here in Sweden. Yeah.
And do you have like bricks and mortar concessions? Do you look to do pop ups?
We did a couple of pop-ups in the beginning. We did two in 2017 that went really well. And then we've been in store at Monaco for a while in their Murano store. We're also in a store in Zurich. We really want to be a direct-to-consumer brand. I see us doing pop-ups in the future. But working directly only through our online store gives us direct contact to our customers. There's no filters, and for a brand like us, not young anymore, but I think still very agile, it's important for us to have that direct contact to our customers. I would love to work with certain stores in the future. I think out of a branding perspective, it would be really cool to work with certain stores around the world. But I still see that our online store is going to be our main focus of sales. Yeah.
And so how big is the company now, Gustav? How many people are you?
In terms of
employees, sales, yeah.
Employees. It's just me. So,
full-time gig for you, though, I imagine.
Full-time gig for me, yeah. Yeah, but for me, it's so rewarding, and obviously you have good days and bad days. But I like to be in control, or at least have oversight of everything. We have consultants that help us out during various times of the year. But full time, it's only me. Yeah.
Are you also handling all the social channels? So if people message you on Instagram, it's going to be you behind it.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Hey, wow. There you go. Yeah. So we can drop a note to Gustav.
Yeah. It's both good and bad. I mean, sometimes it's hard to shut off. Like, I'm not gonna lie. sometimes it's a bit hard to shut off. But I think it's important when people find out that it's me that they're talking to. It's they quite enjoy it. They didn't think it was going to be me. So.
Well, there's an. I like the honest through line of the brand. You kind of what you see is what you get. You know, you get some really good imagery, I've got to say. So, I mean, you got the website, then it's got all the shoes. That's just clearly showing. I mean, I guess you had to do Did you have to do your own photography? Was it kind of like a 180? You know,
we do our own photography. We do everything in house. Everything is done in house. I feel like it's important to do it in house. I understand I have a certain vision for the brand, and in my opinion, it's channeled best through me doing it or us doing it in house. Obviously, we love to work with influencers or micro-influencers. I think it's also great for other people to interpret their way or how they see the brand in their environment. And we love to use those kinds of images and stuff as well. But all the campaign images that you see are all shot in-house. Yeah.
And when you say in-house, is that you?
That's me.
Hey, mate, you've done really well. I'm really chuffed for you. It looks great.
Me and then my wife helps out with some of the images as well. So I don't deserve
check it
that.
Out. Head over to Instagram now. Down Tools, people. It's North89Official is the Instagram, and North-89.com, the place to go where you can pick up a pair of these. And do you work with influencers at all in the UK? Have you got a big UK market?
Yeah, we have done in the past, looking to work with some more for the upcoming spring and summer season, for sure. Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great market, great customers, would love to also see more of Asia coming along, but the US is also one of our biggest growth targets this year. The last couple of weeks, it's grown quite a bit, so that's really fun to see as well. So it's worldwide, which is great. Yeah.
Does it cost extra? Okay, stupid question, but as a brand and a company, you're shipping out of the warehouse in Sweden. Does it cost extra to get it over to America than it would say just to the UK, and then that affects bottom line everything?
Of course, the shipping is cheapest within Sweden. For sure, but we charge a little bit more for shipping internationally. Uh-huh. We also bake some of it into the sales price. We have a great warehouse that has good shipping rates, so it doesn't affect us too much on the bottom line. And in the end, we also want it to be a fair price for the customer. I mean, I think we're able to deliver a quality product at a fair price. We're not here to. We're not charging £800 for a pair of sneakers, but I think we want to keep the prices fair. Yeah.
Hey, Gustav, I think I've asked this question before on the podcast, but I forget to who. Who would you like to see a Swedish national? Who would you like to see as a brand ambassador?
Oof. Tough question.
So I pitched it to Geico. I can't remember who, but I said the most famous Swede has got to be Dolph Lundgren, right? Rocking a
yes,
pair of these.
I actually asked him last week. I met him
you
on the street.
You asked last week? No!
You crossed paths. Yeah.
You're kidding. That's nuts.
Yeah. I had to look twice. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Just walking out of the street? You're off to get some
weights to the grocery store or something, and he was out for a stroll. But
well, yeah, look, you can't miss the guy. I mean, he's 6'3" and he's built, but yeah, that's nuts. Yeah.
So should we say Dolph Lundgren? No, I don't know.
I'll tell you what you got to do now, Gustav, though, is you can always carry a pair of extra pair of sneakers around with you in case you bump into him again, right? Yeah, and just go, Dolph, these are for you, baby. You know, take them, rock them. Don't expect anything, but all the best.
Yeah, all the best. Let me know. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I don't think we're going to get any better than Dolph and that story.
He's a cool guy. Good stuff.
Really great talking to you, and best of luck with the brand again. The website, north-89.com, and we'll leave all the links on the show notes. But until next time. You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content, and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you'd like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.